Bob Hart reporting the headlines from 1968. The Viet Cong launches a series of surprise attacks across South Vietnam in what's being called the Tet Offensive. The Green Bay Packers win Super Bowl II, and quarterback Bart Starr is named Super Bowl Most Valuable Player for the second time. Ex-teenager singer Frankie Lyman is found dead from a heroin overdose in Harlem. U.S. Senator Robert F. Kennedy enters the race for the Democratic presidential nomination. Congress repeals the requirement for a gold reserve to back U.S. currency. Those are some of the stories making news in 1968. This is Bob Hart on Radio Recall with Jim Hampton.
Remember this golden record.
And it's time for our Pop Tops Hour, and this is Peggy Lee. All right. Okay, you win, I'm in love again.
Well, all right, okay, you win, I'm in love with you. Well, all right, okay, you win, baby, what can I do? I'll do anything you say, it's just got to be that way. Well, all right, okay, you win, I'm in love with you. Well, all right, okay, you win, baby, what can I do? Anything you say I'll do, as long as it's me and you. All that I am asking, all I want from you, just love me like I love you, and it won't be hard to do. Well, all right, okay, you win, I'm in love with you. Well, all right, okay, you win, baby, what can I do? I'll do anything you say, it's just got to be that way.
Okay, you win. I'm in love again. Welcome to Radio Recall. In this hour, we're doing, sort of the pop music side of rock and roll. Lots of great things coming up. Artists that I know you love, and that we're having hits at the same time that some of the rock and roll stars were. So stay tuned for that. And I got somebody, a good old friend, who's on the phone. Johnny Randall is on the phone. Johnny, you there?
It's me.
You're Johnny. You don't sound very good. You okay?
I'm in an echo chamber. No, I'm fine.
Echo.
How are you, kiddo? How are you?
I'm doing great. And, I was thinking as I was driving over here that we have been friends since 1965 when I was working in Flint, Michigan at wonderful Wham! Radio.
Yes, I remember. Yes, Jerry Jacobs, the program director.
Jerry, and I found Jerry Jacob recently, and he is, we've been in touch. In fact, he may be listening to the show right now because he was listening to San Francisco.
The most scared I was ever in my life was before, I think I was doing weekends, or I can't remember what shift I started with, but he was a pilot, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And he took me up in his plane.
He did that to you too, huh?
The closest to death I've ever been.
Oh, my God. Well, I was much younger, and I was a little more naive, and I went up, and I thought, oh, this is fun. But no, I know what you mean. I wouldn't have done that again. You know, it was you were on WTAC when I was at WAMM in Flint, right?
That's correct, yeah. At the Big 600.
I remember you used to be a terrific chef. You would make barbecued potatoes.
My goodness.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. I do. I can't believe you remember it, but yeah, I do. Yeah, I still like to cook. I think I probably look like it, too.
And then after WTAC, you came down to... I went to WXYZ, and you followed me down shortly after.
Yep, I started on WXYZ-FM, which is now, I think, RIF, isn't it? WRIF?
WRIF, that's right.
Yeah, and I started on WRIF under the name of Donovan. I don't know if people know this, but I would like to take this opportunity to thank you for making the audition tape that I took to Lee Allen. I know you remember, but I don't think the folks that are listening know that you and I sat in your living room with an old wall and sack tape recorder and put together old air checks that I had from Flint. And you actually made me sound terrific.
Really? Well,
yes.
You did sound terrific. And
you really helped. And I can remember sitting in Lee Allen's office and him listening to the audition tape. I talked to Lee on the air several years ago. I forget where he was or what he was doing, but I will never forget the line. He listened to this tape. He was sitting in his office with his feet on the desk, and he listened to the tape, and it was the best thing, hands down, that I had ever... It was the best I ever sounded, thanks to you. And he listened to this tape, and he turned off the tape recorder. He looked at me, and he said, well, you start Monday. I got to leave. I'm getting married in a half hour. and that's really true. He married Sharon. And had a couple of sons and like that. But he was actually leaving the audition, if you will, to get married. And that's how I got hired at WXYZ.
Well, that's terrific. And you went on the air on the FM, and then I was on the AM, and then I got drafted. Well, not drafted, but I was called up to active duty. Went into the service, and then you took over my show on the All Night Show when we were still doing rock and roll. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
And then I got a telegram. Then I got a telegram when I was at beautiful Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, that said, "We're sorry to inform you that WXYZ is now The Good Life." So all that rock and roll went bye bye.
Yeah. You know, the irony of that, too, is that not only did they change in terms of the folks and the format, but as you know, I had lived my whole life listening to WXYZ, and I grew up in Southfield and in the city of Detroit. And I don't know if you remember or not, but I used to say that the two things in the world that I want out of my career is, one, to be on WXYZ, and two, to be hired by Lee Allen. And I wanted very much to play the rock and roll that you and I listened to and all the jingles and so on and so forth. And here I was offered this position, but I will never forget the first record I ever played on AM was Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. I'm telling you, I thought I was going to die. I mean, I waited my whole life, you know, to play Chuck Berry and
Sam and Dave. And
exactly. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and I'm playing Andy Williams, and I'm just going, oh, man, I can't believe. But, you know, it was WXYZ, and it turned out that they really did come up with a very interesting format, because in those days, as you know, the target audience were people who were 18 to 35, and they called those folks the acquisitives, because they could influence those people to buy different products or to change or to whatever. And the theory was, at the time, once people got past 35 years old, their buying habits were pretty well set. So that was the target audience. And the music that they chose to do that, and the fellow that did that was a guy named Joe Baccarella, that I know you know.
Sure.
And Chuck Fritz. As a matter of fact, I talked to Joe just a couple of days ago. But the music that they chose was like Neil Diamond and Tony Bennett, Andy Williams.
Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra was huge. Herb Alpert, Tijuana Brass. Sergio Mendez. And in those days, Brazil 66. I think now it's, what is it, Brazil 2012 or something. But in any event, that was the music that they chose, and that's what WXYZ did. The other issue was this commercial load that we carried, which I know you'll remember was, we were sold out. Every hour was sold out. So.
Well, WXYZ made more money than any other ABC affiliate, including WABC in New York for many, many
that's
years.
Correct. That's right. If you'll remember, when you and I were there, WXYZ, or maybe a better way to say it would be ABC Radio, paid for ABC Television.
Hmm. Things have changed, I would say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you could say that.
I'll tell you what. Since I want to talk to you some more, but I want to play a song, and maybe you can help me introduce this song. And I apologize for putting you on the pop top hour here.
Oh my goodness! Let's
because I can... thought you'd be familiar with this song. This is Frank Sinatra. Okay. I got you under my skin. Maybe you could just say something there.
Well, this is Mr. Sinatra and, I believe, Count Basie, and something arranged by the trombone player.
Johnny, you blew the intro. We have to do that all over again because you didn't hit it the right way. So.
All right, okay. Quincy Jones was the name I was trying to think of. Okay, give me another shot. Give me another shot.
Here we go.
All right.
Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the chairman of the board, Mr. Frank Sinatra.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. We have to do that just one more time because you didn't quite hit the mark. And,
I tried. I came closer. Didn't I come closer?
You're much closer. This is a professional show, and I want to make sure that you look the very best. Here we go.
You understand how long it's been since I've done this?
Yeah, well, here we go. Go ahead.
All right. So here is the chairman of the board, Francis Albert Sinatra.
That's beautiful.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me, so deep in my heart that you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I tried so not to give in. I said to myself, this affair never will go so well. But why should I try to resist when, baby, I know so well? I've got you under my skin. I'd sacrifice anything come what might for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats in my ear. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, wake up to reality. But each time that I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin. 'Cause I've got you under my skin. Sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats how it yells in my ear. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Why not use your mentality? Step up, wake up to reality. Time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop just before I begin. 'cause I've got you under my skin.
Oh, I've got you right there.
Yes, I've got you
under my skin.
Under my skin.
Mr. Sinatra. Oh, Johnny Randall. What a great, great treasure it is to have you right here on the show. You still there?
Yeah, I still. I gotta tell you a Sinatra story. This happened at Pine Knob years and years ago when we opened Pine Knob. And as a matter of fact, I was privileged enough to introduce Neil Diamond, who was the first entertainer at Pine Knob. Now it's the DTE Theater, I think. But Sinatra came to Pine Knob, and it was my turn because we took, you know, every other day to introduce the various acts. We'd drive out there, and all the signs said WXYZ presents Frank Sinatra or Tony Bennett or Neil Diamond, whoever it might be. Anyway, it was my turn to do the introduction that night, and it was Sinatra. Well, as you know, you never introduce Sinatra. He just walks onto the stage. So there was the microphone sitting in the center of the stage, ready for Sinatra, and I was backstage, and I thought to myself, I'll walk out and I'll just grab the microphone and they'll have to make it hot because I'll be in the spotlight and I'll say, ladies and gentlemen, here's Frank Sinatra. And I'll be one of the few people in the world that has ever introduced Frank Sinatra. So I started to take like one step from backstage and the largest individual I have ever seen in my life came out of the shadows and said, hey, what are you doing? And I looked at him and I said, nothing. And I went home. but I want you to know I came within maybe 30 feet of actually introducing Frank Sinatra. But I'm alive today to tell the tale, so I obviously didn't.
Mr. Sinatra, he was amazing. You know, I used to go with friends because he would perform on roughly September 19th, which is my birthday, at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. Every year he'd be there about that time. And I'd rent a limo, and I'd have all my friends get in because, you know, they weren't serious Sinatra fans, but I was determined to convert all these people.
Right.
And so they get there, and of course, you know, they just are enraptured by this guy. And
right.
And then he does New York, New York, and they're all like saying, oh, well, you know, he's coming back. Encore, encore. I said, no,
yes.
Let's go.
Yeah.
He's not coming back. And they, oh, yeah, he's coming back. And you hear him yelling and screaming. I said, he's not coming back. He's already in his limo. No. He's halfway to the hotel.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't do encore. He, you know, I was fortunate enough to see Sinatra maybe six times. I saw him in Vegas. I saw him a couple times in Detroit. I saw him at Cobo Hall, and I was sitting on the very right corner seat, right down front, and he walked down that side of the stage, and he sang Nancy with the laughing face, and he had those blue eyes, you know, and this suit that fit perfectly, and the shirt, and all that sort of stuff. And it was like he stared right at me and he sang this ballad. And I thought to myself, you know, and I still think that's probably one of the greatest entertainers that I ever had the privilege to see.
I think
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, maybe the second greatest was another fan of, was Bobby Darin.
Yes.
Bobby Darin.
Yeah, I think that if Bobby Darin would have, well, you and I chatted about this, but I think that if Bobby Darin would have lived, he would have been another Sinatra. I think Bobby Darin had more natural talent and more ability. If you listen to his live albums, he's like, well, one of my most favorite albums in the whole world is Frank Sinatra at the Sands, which I think is probably one of the best live recorded albums, especially when you consider the technology of that time,
mm-hmm.
with Count Basie and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the other is to listen to Bobby Darin live.
Yep.
When you see him on television, I think he looks real stiff. I don't think folks knew what to do, you know, early on in doing the kind of music. Sinatra, I think, was always relaxed because that's what he was. But Bobby Darin, naturally, I think, was one of the most gifted individuals I've ever known of in my era, anyway.
Well, let's take a quick break and listen to a little bit of Bobby Darin. Remember the song "More" from Mondo Cani? This is Darin doing it.
This is the love that I give to you alone. More than the simple words I try to say, I only live to love you more each
day. More than you'll ever know, my arms long to hold you so. My life will be in your keeping, waking, sleeping, laughing, weeping, longer than always is a long, long time. But far beyond forever, you'll be mine. I know I never lived before, and my heart is very sure, no one else could love you more than the greatest love the world has known. This is the love that I give to you alone. More than the simple words I try to say, I only live to love you more each day. More than you'll ever know, my arms got to hold you so. My life will be in your keeping, waking, sleeping, laughing, weeping, longer than always is a long, long, long time. But far beyond forever, you'll be mine. I know I never lived before, and my heart is very sure, no one else could love you more.
Oh yeah, I'll be Darren, and that's More. And you remember that song, Johnny, by chance?
Amazing. You know, not a music lesson, not a dance lesson, nothing. He could just stand and do it. And to watch him sing and perform was, he was an amazing, amazing artist. You know that our mutual friend Scotty Regan, who was on WKNR when we were doing, somehow ended up taking him to Lafayette Coney Island about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning and having conies and fries. And here sits Scotty with Bobby Darin, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning. I think he was at the Fisher or something. But I don't know if you're going to talk to Scotty or not, but that's a true story. Scotty actually took Bobby Darin out for conies at Lafayette Coney Island.
Well, I know that Bobby Darin really loved Jamie Coe, and he helped Jamie in his career and produced some of his songs, you know. And you can kind of hear the similarity in the style when you listen to Jamie Coe and the Gigolos, like in How Low Is Low,
exactly.
And some of those songs. Listen, I have some sad news. You know, you remember Pat Madcap Murphy? He he was at WXYZ for a few years, certainly when I was there, I think when you were there.
I remember him and his cartridges and his horns and his bells and his whistles.
Yeah, he had all these like sound effects and things. You know, sadly, he passed away just a few months ago. I just found out about this yesterday. And
I didn't know that.
He was, you know, he was at WARM in, I think, Scranton, Pennsylvania for many, many years. He was very much loved there because he was like the morning mayor. And he came to Detroit, worked at WXYZ, and he did, well, for a while he did like the later evening show, right after Lee Allen, I think it was, from 10 to 1 in the morning. Then they moved him to, it was midday, if I'm not mistaken. And then
Followed Mark Avery, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, all I can remember is that Danny Taylor, who was another disc jockey there, would dress up as Batman during the Batman days at WXYZ.
Yes.
And Pat Madcap Murphy, or Poopsie as he would call himself, would go out with Danny Taylor in the WXYZ Batmobile to. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that. Also, I wanted to play just a little bit of some of Pat's work on WXYZ because he truly was a funny, funny man, a nice, nice man. Hold on one second here.
This is Madcap Murphy on a Sunday afternoon at a minute after 4 o'clock, and away we go.
It's a good time for the good sound of Radio Go-Go on WXYZ and the Madcap Murphy Show.
Let's go, go. How about that weather, huh? 39 degrees, and we've got all the music for you till 9:30. Quiet right here, Martha. And the Vandellas, our Wixie Go-Go time on the Madcap Murphy Show. It's 5 minutes after 4 o'clock, and good afternoon to Wyandotte. How you making it, huh?
Oh, jolly good, old boy, jolly good.
Go-Go for your fling at a fortune.
Go!
Oh, you hurt myself. Now, tomorrow morning on the Fred Wolf Show, a brand new contest gets underway worth $1,000, and I hope you're the winner this week. On Tuesday afternoon, Dave Prince will have last week's $1,000 winner. It's 7 after 4 with All-American Madcap Murphy on XYZ. And now the Sounds Orchestral.
That's Pat Madcap Murphy, and just an excerpt of him. Yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't clean that up a little bit because it was a little muddy there, but I wanted to get it out tonight.
I don't know how many folks that are listening remember that. That's amazing. I mean, that I can see him sitting in the studio with all the sound effects, and remember, you'd have doors closing and all kinds of stuff, all kinds of stuff going on. What an amazing talent he was.
Yeah, he. It seemed like he had maybe 500 people in the studio with him, all making little one-liners. But really, was him and all his cartridge machines and his tapes and stuff. So, anyway,
wherever did you find all this stuff?
You know, part of the reason are the people that are sitting right here with me. We have George Griggs and Scott McKinnon, both with. Help me, DetroitRadioFlashbacks.com, and they're both collectors. They love this business. They love radio the way it used to be, and they have been so wonderful to help me. And also from another friend, Richard Irwin at RealRadio.com. Rich has sort of created a museum, literally, online of all the great DJs, not just of Detroit, but across the entire country. So those folks have really been a big help to me.
Yeah, it was a different time. It was It was a very special time to be on the radio.
And Art Volo is here, too. He is doing a little video of this show, so I had to have makeup and everything on before I came in here. It's just really...
Hello, Arthur.
Hello, Johnny. I almost said the wrong name.
You know, what I've noticed about radio is that behind the scenes somewhere, Art Volo is lurking.
Yeah, he's there. He's everywhere.
Art is there. You know, I believe that Art has air checks, Jim. I'm telling you. If we've ever had conversations about anything illegal, I'm betting you Volo's got a tape.
Yeah, no, he's set for life as far as I'm concerned. you remember Chicken Man? He's everywhere. He's everywhere. That's Art Volo.
Exactly.
I was listening to WLS doing their rewind with all their DJs, and I'm hearing Fred Winston and Larry Lujack, and I'm listening John Landecker and all these fantastic stars, and they're all saying, "Hi, Art Volo." I couldn't believe it. You know, Art has never...
Well, you know what? God bless him for taking an interest in a period of time when, you know, radio was just... I don't know if... it was so huge, you know, and I felt, I'm sure you did too, that it was such a privilege to be part of that and to be in Detroit and to be working for ABC and it's nice that people like Art, you know, remember that kind of stuff because... you know, I haven't had really a decent job since then, so I want to talk to you about a loan.
Art needs some help in cleaning up his studio. He's got...
I'm there. Put me down.
All right, well, hold on one more second. Do you have some more time, or do you have to ring?
No, I have about 5 more minutes, and then actually they turn the lights out at the home. So,
well, give me 5 minutes, and we'll be right back to you, all right?
First we have the Fleetwoods, a very successful group. Let's send them to Alaska to entertain our troops.
When they start in a singing and putting on their show, the temperature around them will be 45 below.
Wah, wah, wah.
I'm Mr. Blue. Wah, wah. When I say I'm freezing,
me too.
Just turn around. Head for the warmth of town. I'm freezing through and through. Call me Mr. Blue.
Next, the Hollywood Argyles, a mighty nice group of kids. We'd like to send them roving on a downhill pair of skids.
There's a group that we heard of that's a awful hip.
Howdy-oop, oop.
We'd kinda like to send them on a little trip.
Howdy-oop, oop, 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 oop.
Where they ought to go we cannot tell.
Alley-oop, oop, oop, oop.
But it's awful hot, and it rhymes with swell.
California?
And while they're down there working, they won't be all alone. They'll run into another group that's even hot back home.
They asked me how I knew our career was through. Oh, I of course replied, something here inside cannot be denied.
Do 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 do.
Freshmen, a group that rates a cheer. Of course, they've been four freshmen for almost 20 years.
It isn't that they're stupid. Well, a little maybe so.
They can't afford to graduate. They're making too much dough.
In this whole wide world, is there nowhere to send them? Is there no can tell them to go?
Yeah.
Sailing, sailing over the water blue. Hail to the Kingston Trio.
Cuba's calling you.
We got the Kingston Trio. Some work on Cuba's shore. We hung around Havana to do a few encores. Castro said, I like 'em. Let's hang him up some more. Now he has all three hanging permanently.
Hang down the Kingston Trio. Hang him from a tall oak tree. Eliminate the Kingston Trio. More money for you and me.
Dion and the Belmonts are driving us to tears. Let's send them up the river for about 1,000 years.
While the kids are watching Dion singing about the stars,
the Belmonts are out on the parking lot stealing hubcaps off of cars.
Each time I steal a hubcap, it almost breaks my heart. Why do I steal hubcaps? Why did I have to start? Tonight I ask the stars without why must I be a teenager in jail?
Where these groups all come from, we really do not know. But if they ever ask us, we will tell them where to go.
Oh, wow. That's great to hear again. The Four Preps doing more money for you and me. Do you remember that song, Johnny?
I do.
Yeah,
I remember. Yeah, I haven't heard that in years. Where did you find all this stuff?
Well, you know, George Griggs is this collector, and he has everything from music and air checks and just it's an amazing resource. I hope you can turn it into a museum someday because it's really worth it.
Too.
The sad thing is that we can find very little on Johnny Randall. I don't know what you've been missing.
I don't know what that is.
10 years on WXYZ, and no one can find Johnny Randall. It's like you just turned out the lights and left town.
I have one tape. I have one air check that from WXYZ. I had boxes and boxes of tape that I saved for years, and the reality is I just didn't listen to it that much, just old shows and things like that. And as you know, in your radio career, when you begin, you think you're terrific, and as you 5-10 years later, when you listen to what you used to sound like, you don't want anybody to ever hear that stuff. So I left a lot of it in California when I lived out there, and I really don't have anything except one air check. I don't know if Art has anything, or Dick Kernan at Specs Howard mentioned to me that there was somebody in town that had some air checks, but Those days, I think those days are gone. I mean, in those days, people listened to the disc jockey, as you know, more than the music, and that whole paradigm shifted. And now it's the music itself. And I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing, but it's certainly a different thing than what you and I came from and what we listened to, because obviously we spent our time listening to who was on the radio and what they said.
So who do you think was the biggest influence on your style?
I think Lee.
Lee Allen?
I think so. I always felt that Lee, I know that there are people that truly disliked him on the radio and felt that they just didn't like what he did. But the thing that always struck me was that he did something to like or dislike. His radio show wasn't vanilla. It was very much him, and it was his personality and his vision of what somebody should sound like. And the other thing is that I felt that Lee had this amazing voice. I just thought he had an incredible voice. And I grew up listening to him and thinking to myself, you know, I'd like to do that. So I think Lee was probably one of the biggest influences. I think Joel Sebastian was a very large influence. Paul, you know, I used to stand out when Paul Winter used to do record hops, but bless his soul, in the Wixie wig loop, the Fred Wolf thing. I used to go wherever he was, and I would stand in front of the window, in front of this little sign that said, no visitors, and I would shiver in the winter so that he would invite me in to get warm so I could watch what this jockeys did. You know, the whole genre fascinated me, and who was on the radio was much more important to me than what they were playing. But
he was really a wonderful guy and a very intellectual guy playing, rock and roll records is amazing.
Yeah, PhD, yeah.
And also Tom Clay. I think Lee Allen was influenced greatly by Ernie Durham and by Tom Clay, by Mickey Shore.
Very much so. Mickey Shore is, just to take a second, Mickey Shore is probably one of the most hysterical, natural comedians I've ever known in my life. And again, he's, as you know, he's passed away. But Mickey could sit around a card table, and start talking about something like getting a pizza, and people would have to leave because they'd be crying. They'd be laughing so hard. he was amazing.
Yeah, amazing guy. And, you know, we have we have an air check right now we're gonna go to of Tom Clay, one of the earlier air checks of Tom on WJBK as Jack the Bellboy. And I think for me, this guy, because he was an original, you know, he was the one who really started all, not only, you know, talking really one-to-one, and also his production values. He could take a record and he could make magic with it just by finding a lyric in the middle of while he's talking. He just found a lyric and he would play it on the air. It was just really incredible. And I think you'll agree with me when you listen to this, Tom Clay was truly one of the best. Johnny, I want to thank you so much for being here on the show. I know I've taken up a lot of your time, but
it's been a real privilege, and I thank you for inviting me. And my very best wishes to all of the other folks that you'll talk to. And you and I have been friends for years, and that's just another blessing I have from this business. And hi to all you guys in the studio, and keep rocking and rolling, you guys.
Thanks very much. Good night, Johnny.
Good night.
From now until 12 in the morning, Tom Clay presents the Jack the Bellboy Show. Yeah, man, hi, here's that guy again, a guy by the name of Clay, Tom Clay to be exact, and I've got sounds to go around. Something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. But most of all, we have a sound designed especially for someone the likes of you, hey? Stick around, huh? we go with our five-hour show. In hour number one, we'll try the stylings of Johnny Strickland.
I got a cute little girl with a cute little walk. I like a hero when she's hot. I like a hero when she talks. I like to feel a little heart beating close to mine. And I'm so loaded, I wanna hold her all the time.
She's mine, Daddy. Johnny Strickland, son and all.
Here I stand. His ring is on my
the voice of June Valley in the next number one song for June, The Wedding.
My girl, yes, I love her so. My girl, I'll never let her go.
And there we have the sound from Highland Park's own Imperials, My Girl. To get things started with 75 to go, we'll call this number one. Here goes Art Mooney and his orchestra, and that is called Night Train. Here we go with the WJBK Radio Sound Special for this week. Mr. Eddie Cochran puts this particular sound down. He says, come on, everybody. Only 75 cents. You pick it up at your favorite sound shop that has the bright red and yellow sign. So far in the show, we've had a guy, a gal, an orchestra. To make one segment of it complete, we need a group, and we have one. The Platters sing.
They ask me how I knew my true love was true. Someday you'll find all who love are blind. Oh, when love's on fire, you must realize smoke gets in your eyes.
One of the big sounds around this old town, Mr. Duane Eddy puts it down. Number 8 on Formula 45. Look out, Rebel Rouser, this is a cannonball. Mark my word, this sound is going to be number one around town, and it isn't rock and roll.
Here I stand, his ring is on my hand, but he's second best in my heart.
This time we try the musical sounds, no words in the background, just music. Mr. Cyril Stapleton, the orchestra. This is a very infectious sound, Holiday Hop.
And there you have it. It's Tom Clay, Jack the Bellboy from WJBK from the late 50s, and a wonderful talent. We're going to be playing Tom Clay's famous closing to his show in the next hour of our show, right here on Radio Recall. But in the meantime, we have to go back to the music and some great stuff from the wonderful Dinah Washington. And you got what it takes.
Well, now it takes more than a robin to make the weather go. And it takes two lips of fire to melt away the snow.
Well, it takes two hearts of cooking to make a fire grow. You've got what it takes.
Oh, yeah.
You know it takes a lot of kissing.
Tell me about it.
To make a romance sweet. Ooh, it takes a lot of loving to make my life complete.
And it takes a lot, woman, to knock me off my feet. And baby, you
got what it takes.
I said,
just what it takes, because it takes more than an effort to stay away from you. It takes more than a lifetime to prove that I'll be true.
But it takes somebody special to make me say I do.
Oh yeah.
And baby, you've got what it takes.
You know you've got just what it takes, because
it takes more than my spot again, honey.
I like your spot.
To stay away from you.
I can't stay away. Come on, let's do it.
It takes more than a lifetime, Daddy. True,
not you. But it takes somebody special,
like me, baby,
to make me say I do.
And baby,
baby,
you've got what it takes. Say it again.
Come on, let's do it one more time. All right.
And baby,
baby, you've got what it takes.
One more time, bro.
That's Brooke Benton with Dinah Washington on Radio Recall. And we got Dave Carson coming up in just a moment. He's going to be talking to us. He's a real historian about Detroit radio. And he has a book called Rockin' Down the Dial. And if you haven't read it, you should pick it up at your local bookstore. In the meantime, we're still doing Pop Tops, or Tops and Pops, or whatever that's called. And
whether I'm right,
Sammy Davis Jr.
Or whether I'm wrong,
and I've got to be me.
Whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I gotta be me. I gotta be me. What else can I be but what I am? I want to live, not merely survive. And I won't give up this dream of life that keeps me alive. I gotta be me. I gotta be me. The dream that I see makes me what I am. That faraway prize, a world of success, is waiting for me if I heed the call. I won't settle down, won't settle for less. As long as there's a chance that I can have it all, I'll go it alone. How it must be. I can't be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me. I gotta be free. I've gotta be free. Daring to try to do it or die. I've gotta be me. Somebody else, if I'm not right for me, I gotta be free. I just gotta be free. Daring to try to do it or die. I gotta be me.
The great Sammy Davis Jr., and I Gotta Be Me. Oh, there's no voice like this one, I'll tell you. You'll never find another one like Lou Rawls, that's for sure.
as long as you live. Someone who loves you tender like I do, you'll never find, no matter where you search, someone who cares about you the way I do. Oh, I'm not bragging on myself, baby, but I'm the one who loves you, and there's no one else. No one else. You'll never find, it'll take the end of all time, someone to understand you like I do. You'll never find the rhythm, the rhyme, all the magic we shared, just us two. Oh, I'm not trying to make you stay, baby, but I know somehow, someday, some way you are.
You're gonna miss my loving.
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 You're gonna miss my love. Another love like mine, someone who needs you like I do. You'll never see what you found in me. You'll keep searching and searching your whole life.
Certainly missed Lou Rawls. And you'll never find another love like mine.
Radio Recall, the Jim Hampton Show.
This is WPON, Walled Lake, Detroit. It's 9:02 right now.